If you remember where we are, it's chapter 15 is where we're picking up. At this point, you had Solomon pass off the scene. You had Rehoboam, his son, come to power, and he was a moron, and he went out and said stupid things. He forsook the counsel of the older men and instead tried to lay a heavy burden on people. And as a result of that, the nation split. And you had Israel and 10 tribes in the north, and then you had Judah and Benjamin in the south. And so you have Israel and you have Judah. Chronicles kind of sticking to what's going on in the south with Judah. A couple kings come along, and we left off last week starting with Asa. In chapter, Asa gets a bunch of print here in Chronicles. Good guy. I was in Corinthians, which is not where I'm really going to find anything about Asa, so let me just turn to the right spot. It says in chapter 14, if you look at the beginning of that chapter, Abijah, his dad, slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa did that which was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. Excuse me. Asa was a good king. Towards the end of chapter 14, an army shows up. It's the Egyptians, led by the Ethiopians. They come knocking on the door, and they show up with 1 million men. Inconceivable to me to look out and face 1 million men on a battlefield. They had 500,000 at that time in Israel, so they're outnumbered at least 2 to 1. And it said in chapter 14, when they showed up, in verse 11, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. I mean, that was his prayer. Gets everybody out on the battlefield. Says, you know, God, it doesn't matter whether there's a couple of us or a lot of us. Doesn't matter if we have any strength or not. Because we rest in you, which is absolutely the right prayer. Always the right prayer. Doesn't have to be long. Doesn't have to be clever when you're in a bind. It's just, Lord, fight for us. And the Lord, it says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. The Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people that were with him pursued them under Gerar. The Ethiopians were overthrown. They couldn't recover themselves. They were destroyed before the Lord, before his host. They carried away very much spoil. They smote all the cities around Gerar. The fear of the Lord came upon them. They spoiled all the cities. There was exceeding much spoil. They smote the tents, the cattle, carried away sheep, camels in abundance, returned to Jerusalem. Big victory, because Asa goes out and he goes before the Lord. He says, Lord, you need to do this because we can't. And the Lord fights for him. Great victory. So we pick up in chapter 15, and it's on the heels of that victory. He's just coming back from having wiped out. And you know the army's pumped. It doesn't say that they lost a lot of or even hardly any men, if any. Somehow the Lord fought for them. So when the battle came, the other guys just turned away and ran. And they just followed after and cleaned up the mess and took the stuff. I mean, that was their battle. When you're worried about your life, you're seeing an overwhelming force. You've got Asa in charge. He prays to God, and God fights for you. Well, you come to chapter 15, and it's just coming home from that. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord's with you, while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Seems really strange that he would say that. Because Asa just did exactly the right thing. He's flush with the victory of trusting the Lord in battle. And he comes back, and this prophet goes out and says, you know, as long as you stay with the Lord, if you keep seeking him, you'll keep finding him. As long as you stay with him, he'll stay you. But if you turn from him. And of course, Asa's thinking, turn from him? I'm not going to turn from him. Why would I turn from him? I just beat 1 million guys with 500,000, and then you didn't have to do anything. Of course I'm never going to turn from him. Ever, ever, never going to turn. I promise. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I mean, he's probably singing the song. But this guy comes out, and this subtle warning comes out because God knows him, and he knows us. And one thing that is absolutely true in history, you can see it in nation after nation. It certainly happened in the nation of Israel. When you have it good and everything's going great and you don't have any troubles or any trials, you get fat and you get lazy and you don't really have to trust in the Lord. When you're facing 1 million men, you got to trust in the Lord. The million men are gone and you got all their stuff. Woohoo, yeah, you know. And then the fire fades, okay? And the prophet continues here. He says, now for a long season, Israel, and this is in the north, has been without the true God. And this is what, when Josh was talking, it reminded me that. And without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Now, the nation is split, and he says, you know, those guys in the north, you know how they turned? You had Jeroboam come in, he did the golden calves, and all of the priests that were priests of the Lord, they left Israel in the north. They came down to the south to Judah because they wanted to be where the temple was. So what you had left up in the north was you had idolatry, and you had people who didn't have a clue. They didn't know anything about the Lord. They didn't have copies of the scripture. They didn't know a verse. And the priests were all gone. There was nobody to even teach them. And he says, you know, but even in that, when they turned to me, I helped them. When they sought, they found me. But they had no peace because by and large, they had turned from me. And there was vexation and there was confusion up north. But then in verse 7, he says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Your translation, if you're reading something else, might say, but as for you, but as for you. Because that's literally what this be strong means. He says, you know, there's all this craziness in the north and there's no teaching priest and they don't know me. And yeah, occasionally people turn to me, but they have, because they don't know me and they're mostly not following me, there's vexation and there's trouble and there's trial and there's war and there's fighting. But I don't care about that. You, Asa, you, don't give up. Make yourself strong, your work shall be rewarded. It reminds me so much of what Paul says to Timothy. You know, he's writing 2 Timothy, you know he's passing off the scene soon, and he says, you know, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's gonna get worse and worse. There's gonna be more and more trouble. You're gonna see bad things happening all around. But continue thou, you, but I don't care what everybody else is doing. You know, as a parent, when your kids get old enough, you learn that line because they say it to you. But everybody else is, but they don't have to wear a helmet when they ride their bike, but they don't have to be in by a certain time, but they're allowed to watch all this stuff, whatever. And you know, and that's when you're a mom, you trot that out. Well, if everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you do it, right? I mean, you know the speech. My response to that is usually, I don't care, because they're not my children. You're my child. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I love you too much to let you have that attitude or to be that kid. And what Paul said to Timothy, but you continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing whom you've learned them. What Asa is told is here, I don't care what they're doing, you be strong. Don't let your hands be weak because your work will be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, it says, the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he'd taken from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. In Corinthians 14, it says, the one who speaks prophecy speaks exhortation, edification, comfort. He builds you up, he comforts you, and he tries to get you to do something. And that's what this prophecy did. It was like, Asa, go for it. The Lord sees what you're doing. I don't care what everyone else is doing. You follow me. You do what I tell you to do. And so he goes for it. He takes courage from that prophecy, and he goes after the idolatry. It says, and he gathered all of Judah and Benjamin, the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. They fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. He didn't have to do, you know, he didn't have to do a crusade. He didn't have to put it mailers out. When people saw that he was following the Lord and that he had a real relationship with God, they just, boom, they all came because they wanted to follow. People want their leaders to live like they believe it's true. That's what Joshua was told. Be strong and of good courage to do all that I commanded you to do. Just go out and do it. Just live what you say you believe because people will see that and they'll say, that's different. The ones who turn away say, ah, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing, you do another. The one who does what they say, people will follow. If you have a real relationship, you're zealous about following the Lord, people will follow. And see this one guy taking the stand, resting in the Lord. It says they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. This is quite a sacrifice. This is a barbecue, and it's smelling good in Israel at this point. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now, this is willingly, voluntarily, that whosoever of themselves, they all came together, would not seek the Lord God of Israel, should be put to death whether small or great, whether man or woman. They all came together. They were inspired by the way the Lord fought for them. And they all said, we're going to follow the Lord. And if we don't, let us be put to death. This wasn't jihad. This was not, you will follow the Lord or we'll kill you. You know, be converted or else. It's not that. This is people voluntarily saying, we're going to follow the Lord. They were inspired to do it. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. They had the band going. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. For they had, notice this, sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. There was no halfway. There was no half-hearted. They weren't, well, Sunday's good, but you know, Monday the new shows are starting in the fall season. And so, no, wholehearted. Their whole desire, it says, sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. You know, it says in Jeremiah, you'll seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not when you're surfing half-hearted or half-hinded or whatever phrase you want to say. He wants our whole heart. He wants undivided attention. He wants us to love him with everything else drifting away, falling away. And this is how much. I mean, Asa, this was a cost to him and his family. It said also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, actually the grandmother. When it says, you know, Asa slept with his fathers, it wasn't like there was blended family here. The father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the fathers, and the mother, the grandmother, the great-grandmother, the mothers, okay? So this was actually, when you do the lineage, this was his grandma. Also, concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, grandmother, he removed her from being queen because she made an idol in a grove. Okay? And if you understand what this is, if you know the idolatrous practices, this is like one of those gross sexual gods, like Graham, you know? Graham's got her own special place of gross worship there. And he's like, enough of that. Check out the verbs in this. Okay, this is faith. Faith has verbs. And Asa cut down her idol. And then, completely grossed out, he stamped it, which means he broke it up in little pieces. And then he burnt it. No, Graham. No, no. We don't want to do that anymore. Gross. Gross. And he wrecked her idol. He took it out. And he took her out of position of authority. He didn't say, well, you're my gram, and you know, I know you've got some issues, but I'm going to keep you around it. Uh-uh. Uh-uh. Even at the cost of his family. But it says the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, whether it's talking about the high places in the north that he had no control over, or whether it's talking about the area in Ephraim it mentioned that he conquered from them, maybe he didn't take them down there. It does say that his heart is perfect. What does it mean to say your heart is perfect? Remember David. David is a man after my own heart. Yet David committed adultery and murder, okay? The thing about David is he never changed gods. He loved his God, he worshiped his God, he sinned before his God, he repented before his God. He never changed gods. Asa does not have, and we're going to see it towards the end of this, perfect performance. He's going to mess up here a little bit at the end. But he's got perfect relationship. Even though he does some stuff wrong, he's not following other gods like Solomon did. His heart was perfect. And I appreciate that. That at the end of my life, God is not going to look back and say, well, you know, Steve did pretty good. You read the Hebrews in the Hall of Faith, and it's like, wow, it's like he just erased all of that stupid stuff. You know, Abraham, father of faith, there's none of that she's my sister thing twice. Doesn't even mention that. His heart was perfect all his, I mean, that's what you want on your tombstone. If you're going to make a tombstone for yourself, well, if someone's going to make one, I hope that's on my end. And don't just do it because I say it. You know, if it's not true, don't do it. But man, his heart was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God things that his father had dedicated, he himself had dedicated, silver, gold vessels, and there was no more war the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And we're going to do this next chapter in like 5 minutes because I want to finish it. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah, and he built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in unto Asa, king of Judah. So you've got Israel in the north, Judah in the south, Asa's in the south, and all of a sudden Baasha, who's the king of the north, who they're split from, he comes up and he takes this city that's 6 miles outside of Jerusalem and he starts to fortify it. Somebody builds a fort 6 miles away from your capital city, there's a reason why. It's because he's going to attack you. That's what he's going to do. And you know everybody's worried. And it says he wants to let none come or go. It's on a major trade route. So he's preparing to blockade Jerusalem. Asa's been king for 36 years. 36 years, long time. Been there. Most people in the country, because of their ages in those days, how old they lived, never knew any king but Asa. Their whole life they'd had one king, Asa, godly king, perfect, and you know, his heart was perfect towards the Lord, right? Well, in his old age, Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, or Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and your father. Now, there never was a league between him and thee, but he's saying, hey, our ancestors had this relationship. We should have the same relationship. Let's have a treaty. Behold, I've sent you silver and gold. Go, break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So he takes all of his treasure and the treasure from the house of the Lord, because he has this idea. This guy's going to attack me. It's going to be bad. We're going to go to war. People are going to die. We don't want to do that. I got this idea. If I buy off the Syrian king and I pay him to go attack Israel in the north, they won't want to have a war on two fronts, so they'll leave off attacking me and they'll go fight with Syria. So he sends all this money. It's a great idea and it works. See what happens. Ben-Hadad likes it because he gets all the money. He hearkens to Asa. He sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They smote Ijon and Dan and Abimelech and the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah. He let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, worth Baasha was building, and he built therewith with Geba and Mizpah. He went, the other guy, left all the stuff he was building, the fortifications, and he went and defended his other area. Asa goes up, he takes all the supplies, all of the fortification, pulls them away, and builds his own defenses with it. It worked, perfect plan, right? I pay someone else to fight, we don't lose any men, we get all the stuff, perfect plan. And now, I don't even have to worry about fighting with the king of Syria because we have a treaty because I paid him. I mean, this is perfect. Except for one thing. It wasn't the Lord's plan. He had a different plan. Notice what's noticeably absent in there. That prayer that we saw the first time he faced a million men. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need you. There was none of that. It was this, I can manage this one. This is a smaller army. I mean, the big armies I need you for, God, but I can handle these little ones, so don't you worry. I got this one. Well, Hanani the seer comes to Asa, king of Judah, and he says to him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and you've not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. This has got to cut, because that word right there, relied, you've relied on the king of Syria, you've not relied on the Lord your God. It's the same word that's translated in that verse in the prayer in chapter 14 when he says, we rest in thee, same word, we rely on thee, God. Now God is saying, you didn't rest on me this time. You didn't rely on me. You relied on the king of Syria. And because of that, he got away from you. Don't you understand? My plan was not for you to hire him to fight for you. My plan is that I would fight for you and you would drive off Israel in the north and we'd take care of Syria. Now you're going to have to deal with Syria forever. They're going to be harassing you because you didn't ask me what I wanted. He says, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a large host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then this is a verse, you probably have it on your refrigerator or, you know, on your mirror or in your daily bread box or something, at least the first half of it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's good plaque material, right? God's looking for someone to follow him so that he can fight for him. He's looking to and fro for a man, for a woman to take a stand and let him be strong through them. The last part of the verse we don't quote that much. Herein you've done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, you'll have war. If you want to fight for yourself, you might win the small battle, but you're going to lose a big one. If God fights for you, he does a much better job. You ever notice that? You can defend yourself or you can let God defend you. Always better to let God do it. Now, somebody comes to you. You've just blown it. You've sinned. You haven't followed the Lord. They come to you. Steve, I love you, man, as a believer, and I got to say, I saw what you did here. I was reading through the Word of God, and it's just not right. You sin. You departed from the Lord. I have two choices. I could be like, oh, man, you're right. Would you pray with me? I need to repent. I really blew it. That's what I'd like to think I'd do most of the time. Or I can get mad at the person. Asa chose poorly. Asa was wroth with the seer. You can either repent before God or you can shoot the messenger. He was ticked with the seer, the prophet, and he put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Don't you know who I am? My heart is perfect towards the Lord. It's been 35 years. I've been perfect towards the Lord, right? I'm the king. Who's king around here anyway? I mean, that's what he's saying. And not only that, but he took it out on other people. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. It says in Proverbs 3, Solomon had written this just a few generations earlier, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights." If the Lord rebukes you, if he uses someone, thank him for that. If you can get by it, swallow your pride. Because anybody who tells you that, if they do it in the right way, they're doing it because they love you. And if the Lord is using them to do it, it's because he loves you and he wants you to follow him. If Asa would have said, "Let's get a lamb, let's go to the temple," then it would have been great. But he didn't do that. And see how he ends up here. "Behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they're written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet." He's got the creeping crud or the foot funk or something going on here. "Until his disease was exceeding great." The language gives the idea of creeping up his legs. "Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign." So he died broke and diseased in the feet, right? And you read that and you're thinking, how foolish are you, Asa? Why don't you turn to the Lord? He didn't turn to the Lord. It was still his God. He just didn't choose to seek him. He decided to rely on doctors. You know, when I read this verse, here's the thing about teaching the Bible, okay? And you can talk to anybody who's been doing it for a while as a pastor. Whatever you're teaching through usually will be used to smack you before it ever comes out your mouth to everybody else. You know, have you done Job yet? Wait till you do Job, okay? I'm telling you, be ready. You really want to think about the timing before that. If your wife's pregnant, you might want to hold off on Job until after all that. Just saying, well, you know, I'm reading this week, the beginning of the week. Last Tuesday at the election, and I mentioned this morning, it was a bad day on many levels. I lost one of my jobs. I, you know, the election, pretty much everything I voted for didn't pass or get elected or whatever. I went down to play racquetball with Brian Eggert, and I lost, which in and of itself was a travesty after everything I'd talked trash about. But I tweaked my knee. A couple years ago, I tore my meniscus, and it was like hurting me for a year. And I was all scheduled to have the surgery, and then it healed, thank the Lord, right before the surgery, so I never had it done. So we're playing racquetball the other night, and he's beating me badly because apparently in his glory days, he used to play a lot. So, you know, I got no skills. I just got raw talent, whereas he's honed. So he's beating me, and I do some, you know, maneuver, and I feel this twang, and the knee goes. And I know I did something. And it's not like excruciating pain at the time. It just, I felt something let go, like a rubber band in there. So I know I tore something. And it's like, well, maybe not. I'll wait a couple days. You know, so I come home, and it's all fat and tight, and it's hot. And I put a little ice on it at one point, and I took some ibuprofen. And then the next day, you know, well, maybe it's going to get better. And I'm hobbling around, and it hurts, and I can't sleep at night and everything. It was day three before I read this verse, and I realized, you haven't prayed and asked the Lord to heal your knee yet. What an idiot Asa is, right? I mean, I can't, but why wouldn't he? And I'm reading about a guy who does it, and it takes me a couple days to... You got cancer, you seek the Lord, because you can't do anything about cancer. You got a headache, take a couple aspirin, talk to me later. Do you pray before you take the aspirin, or do you pray after they don't work? Right? Do you try your own stuff first, and then wait for, and then follow him, or do you actually start with him, you know? I can tell you, I did very poorly in this one. Well, he slept with his fathers, he died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own sepulchres, which he'd made for himself in the city of David, and they laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. Apparently his feet stunk so bad they had to use extra embalming. I don't know. And they made a very great burning for him. Let me leave you with this. I don't know where you're at. It's been said in the Christian life that you're in one of three places. You're either just coming out of a trial, in the middle of a trial, or just getting ready to go into a trial. You're in one of those three spots. I would encourage you this week, when your trial hits, cry out to the Lord first. Let's not be Asas, amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. Father, how you've showed yourself strong so many times. Forgive us for being stupid and think we can do the little things on our own. Lord, you say, apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, help us to be dependent upon you. And come quickly, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace, guys.